compassion on me. He touched my eyes and now I see. He healed my feet and now I walk in his way.
Compassion on me, oh, and from sin he set me thank God for his love. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. Let's lift up our hands and praise the Lord.
Oh, let us
lift up our hands and praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Thank God for it.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise him in the new time. Praise.
probably shouldn't be saying anything. I've got some nasal congestion I've had the last couple of days. But anyway, I just want to say I'm getting acclimated to coming on Wednesday night because, you know, when you live 35 miles away, it's easy to rationalize about, well, the Lord doesn't expect me to come twice a week and find all those maniacs on the road. And sometimes a Wednesday night service is not that long, so you can kindly rationalize that, that you know, the Lord doesn't expect it. But, you know, the Lord can expect you to make changes. So I feel like now that the Lord is wanting me to come be more faithful. And I'm just glad to be here. I'm not only glad to be here, but I'm glad to be a live, breathing human being. A week ago today, this woman I went to school with was buried. She was the same age as me. And not only did I go to school with her, but I went to church with her. And the paper said, her obituary said that she was a lifelong member of the Second Baptist Church where I went. And you know, Brother Smith was talking about last Sunday, some people never get to hear this message. So, you know, if you're in ignorance, I guess it wouldn't make any difference. But knowing what I know, I would hate to, for my obituary to say that I was a lifelong member of a Baptist church. But anyway, you know, Brother Leninger used to say, he used to use that parable about the 10 lepers and only one gave thanks. And seemed like he used that as maybe we only had a 1 in 10 chance of making it. Maybe he didn't use that, but I like to figure with numbers. So I was reading the other day where Samuel, he was sent to anoint David king, and all 7 of David's brothers, Shammah and Abinadab and Eliab, and then Samuel said, it's none of these. So finally he said, have you got another son? He said, yeah, I've got another son. And he said, well, we won't sit down and rest till we see him. And you know, so out of 8 sons, only one was chosen. So I hope that doesn't mean that out of 8 of us that are called, only one will make it. I'm sure it doesn't have that meaning, but sometimes I like to figure with numbers. And so anyway, I just wouldn't fit in anywhere else. I just feel like, I think about my neighbor's Church of Christ, you know, and my goodness, they think I should be going with them. But I mean, I know what they've got. They don't know what I've got. But I'd rather be where there's life than death. And so I've been looking at the DVDs of the camp meeting. I've already looked at them twice, both of them twice. And so, Brother Glenn Goodwin, he sure gave a good talk on the importance of music in church. I mean, he made a long talk, and he covered all the bases and how important music is and the type of songs. You know, he said, well, if the Spirit's fallen, you don't want to start singing the song that nobody's ever heard before and kind of get lost in where we're at. But, you know, I like music. I've always liked music. I guess most people do like music. And so, you know, when I'm driving down here, it sure makes the drive more pleasant if I've got music to listen to. Besides just spiritual music, I like Engelbert Humperdinck and and Neil Diamond and Marvin Gaye and John Denver. And so I went to see Engelbert Humperdinck when I was living in Dallas, you know. I've got these DVDs of him, and he used to be kind of handsome, but the years have really, really changed him. But if anybody could ever sing a romantic ballad, it was him. But he made a lot of hit records, and he had a lovely voice. And so anyway, I appreciate the spirit we had Sunday night and the message we had from Brother Smith. We got good food and good water and good bread over the weekend. And so Brother Smith, you know, talking about perfection, that we can't reach perfection now. Of course, I know all the ministers don't agree with that. And so I know Brother Tucker back in the early 80s, he was thinking we were going to make perfection back then. I thought, well, I haven't made perfection yet. So maybe I should give up, but I know that, like Brother Smith said, there's a season for God. I mean, I appreciate our ministry, but I think there's too much division right now to, I think we have to have a united ministry and the united truth to attain perfection. So anyway, I'm so thankful that the Lord has prided me to be here on Wednesday night. You know, it just makes my attitude better, and I haven't, the Lord has been helping me with my depression and my fatigue, and so such a blessing that, you know, just such a blessing to know about this way when in Conway hardly anybody knows about it, but maybe me and Brother Johnson. But such a blessing. I can't praise God enough for opening my eyes. I told Sister McGowan the first time I was here, I got my eyes open, and she said, "Well, you sure were lucky." She said, "Some people, if they get their eyes open, it takes longer than that." But anyway, good to be with you all. I love you all. Praise the Lord.
While my daughters are getting ready to testify, I just want to say I'm thankful to be here tonight and thankful that I got to go to Wichita. I enjoyed the trip. I enjoyed the fellowship and much appreciated noise-canceling headphones. We had a good time, and everybody seemed to have a good time, and I appreciate Wichita Assembly for hosting that meeting. It was nice to go to a meeting and not feel the pressures that they felt, you know, where you just, everybody's anxious, and there's things to be done, and there's no rest, and, you know, there's always another task to be tended to, whether it's picking up the trash or vacuuming or whatever. You know, there's always something that needs to be done, and it was nice to observe everybody working together and fellowship and being kind and gentle with each other. I appreciated that very much. I appreciate this assembly and the love and support that we have here, and the good determination that we have to uphold our young people, our young adults in this assembly, and plant the body of Christ in their life. We're in a good place, aren't we? And so I just wanted to express my appreciation for the meeting and the ability to go, the liberty that the Lord granted us. And if Brother Stewart, if you have your usher, take a microphone to my daughter, Claire. She's ready to testify.
To be here tonight, and I'm thankful I got to go to the meeting. It really was amazing. And like Alex said, Sunday, it was nice to see some new faces and to see some old friends.
I'm glad I got to go to the meeting. It was amazing, like Clara said, and the talks were really good, and the spirit there was amazing, and I'm glad I got to go.
Glad I got to go. It was really good. I guess that's all. Glad I got to go.
Well, I'm thankful to be here tonight. I'm really glad I got to go. Like Rachel and Clara said, it was really amazing. and I didn't feel as much pressure there at the meeting.
Thankful I got to go. I didn't know for sure if I was going to go at first, but it worked out after all because Riva went. That's the only way I could go. Anyway, I really enjoyed the meeting, and it was just a good experience, and I'm thankful I got to go.
I'm not a young person, but I was the driver's wife, so I got to go. I'm going to tell you all a little bit of a testimony before the meeting. I had reserved these rooms, and all these people started saying they wanted to go. And Tuesday morning, I was literally stressed to the max because I was like, okay, we have this many girls and one of me. I can't be split down the middle in these two different rooms. And I just said a very simple, okay, God, I know you can make this work. Please let Sister Lynette go. You know, and she'd already told me she wasn't going to get to go. And why I prayed that, I don't know. But it wasn't 15 minutes. She sent me a message and said she was going. And I know that sounds really small, you know, but it just showed me that God, He does take note of even our smallest prayers and needs, because I felt like it was a real need, you know. I didn't know how we were going to make it work, but so I just want to thank the Lord for supplying that need, and it was really nice on the van. Honestly, I didn't think the noise level was bad at all. I've been in a van with a bunch of girls traveling to youth meetings, and it was like, wow. But I thought they were all, I was very impressed at how well our young people did traveling there. Everyone got along and had really good spirits. And I just kind of sat back and watched in the meeting. When the spirit was falling, they were, every single time, they were going up front. And we are blessed with some really wonderful young people who have a heart for the Lord and a heart to, you know, be here and take a part in church. Because I know I've been to youth meetings before where the spirit would be falling and you would see half a dozen or more young people going out the back door. You know, they were there just for the fellowship, and the fellowship was good. But every time the spirit was falling, all of our young people were taken apart up front. And I'm just really thankful to, like I said, I got to go. And yesterday morning, I've been letting I usually wake my children up so we can all tell Nathan bye. You know, it's always been how I do things. And I've been letting them sleep this week because I know they're tired from traveling. And so anyway, I got up yesterday and told Nathan by, and I just went ahead and stayed up, and I just felt the need not to get on Facebook, not to turn the, you know, computer on, not to do anything. And I went into our living room, and we don't have TV per se, but we have like Netflix and stuff like that. And I had turned it on, and I was trying to find something, and I just was like, this is really pointless. And the song started coming over in my mind. I feel the rain. I feel the rain coming down on me. I feel the rain. I can't think of all the names or words right now, but I feel like the Lord helped me yesterday morning. Y'all know I haven't danced in years. But I just started dancing around my living room, singing that song. Just me, you know, and the Lord, and I felt like I was able to press through. And I just, every time I start to stop dancing, it's like I couldn't. It's like I just kept going and going, and probably, I am not joking, 45 minutes. And my legs were hurting so bad by the time I got done. But I was just like, I didn't want it to stop. It just felt so good to have that one-on-one with the Lord right there in my home. And I know He's there with me if I would just lean on Him more. But I'm just thankful to know that He still loves me and He cares. And I can feel Him anywhere if I'm just willing to break through and let Him touch me. Anyway, I love you all, and I'm glad to be here.
I'm thankful to be here, and I'm happy that I went to the youth meeting. There was a lot of good songs and a lot of people. I've never been to a meeting that was that good, and I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful, Brother Smith. Thankful to be here.
Appreciate all the young people testifying about the meeting. It's good to hear. Sometimes a little a little nudge in the right direction is okay, ain't it? Anyway, right on. Appreciate the Lord and the testimonies. I'll share something with you. Just a thought that I had today as I got off work early. Me and Brother Oates, we try our best to get out of there by 3. He gets out of there at 3 o'clock regardless of what I get to do. I don't know what time he's getting home, but he's leaving work at 3. But... So if you need him to get groceries, call him. He'll get them, especially starting tomorrow. But I'm just messing with him. Well, actually, I'm not, but that is true. But we try to get out of there somewhat early-ish on Wednesday night because of church, and so we can get home and get cleaned up and get our minds girded up. You know, we can't always get where we need to be when we need to be there, but we at least make an attempt to get there. And if nothing else, we can get an A for effort. But anyway, I was getting ready today, or this evening I got home, and my typical fashion is to throw some... I found a website that's pretty interesting where you can just loop music over and over and over and over and over and over. And so I usually pick a song that appeals to me, typically a Christian song, if you will. And... I've been listening to several songs along this line. One of them is When God Ran by Phillips, Craig, and Dean. Another one is Mercy Came Running. And then as I was listening to those songs, and they're secular music, and I understand that, and that stuff probably don't affect you, and, you know, good, I guess. But it does have a good meaning, the songs do. They do have some merit in what they're saying. The music is definitely good. And I do enjoy listening to them. I don't feel convicted, so don't preach me under convictions. Let me enjoy that little thing. But as I was listening to those songs, it seemed to to be a recurrent thought to me that, and I asked Brother Smith, I don't know if he's found one yet, but if you want to look, you're welcome to look. I don't know if there is one. There could be. I'm not that much of a scriptorian. But I don't recollect any scripture in the Bible that I know of where Jesus asked for mercy himself, for himself. I can't think of a scripture where he pleaded. There may be one. If there is one, given, we'll hash it out. I'm not saying that there is or isn't. I'm saying there probably isn't. But I can't think of one off the top of my head where he begged mercy so that he wouldn't have to go through any kind of suffrage. It seemed like he came here, and this will tie in with what Brother Smith said here a while back. I can't get his whole thought on it, and maybe he can recall it and give it to us. But something that Jesus had that we didn't, and we don't always share with him, besides being the Son of God, was the fact that he had a purpose. It was something that he came to do. He wasn't just living and loving and going, you know, live and let live. But he had a driving force, and Brother Smith gave us some definitions here a while back. Something about a dream, and if a dream without a job is something, what was that? Do you remember all those? Might have to dig through back in the back of you. And that a purpose that Jesus had, and I'm sorry, go ahead. A vision without a purpose is just a dream. That might be good to write down. But there was another one he said too, something about a job. Busy work? Yes. Somebody get that man a mic, would you please? This may be elementary to some of y'all, but if you would, just bear with me. Maybe we'll.
It was a task or works without a vision is just a job or drudgery. Okay. And a vision with a task or works is the hope of the world.
It's the hope of the world. And that's. Can you put that on the screen? Can that. I don't think it'd be. He wants you to say it again. Here, stand up and say it. There's a force in it.
It was a task or works without a vision is just a job or drudgery. A vision with a task or works is the hope of the world.
Yes. That's quite a good little saying, isn't it? Jesus had quite a purpose, didn't he? He wasn't down here just going through the motions. So many people go through the motions of whatever. This week has been a very weird week in a lot of ways. People who I would never think of would be religious at all, I found out, are raised Pentecostal holiness. Now you look at it, Sherry, you look at her, you'd never in your wildest imagination imagine that she was raised as a Pentecostal holiness girl. Nobody knows her but me and him. He's sitting there shaking his head. And she's really, I mean, she's nice. I get along with her just fine, even though most others don't. But it was just kind of a weird week. I stumble into people that have either left what they knew formerly or have regressed in their purpose. Religion has a purpose. Many, many of you, not me, but many of you, came to salvation through religion. There's nothing wrong with that. God has a purpose for them. They have a job. Not everybody can do the same job. That's their purpose for now. And as I said, I'll reiterate again to jump back off the board, is Christ had a purpose, and we need to ask ourselves, what is our purpose? But the recurrent thought that I had is he never one time that I can think of asked for mercy for himself. And we go through so many things in life, and it seems that we're so consistently concerned with God, just have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. All through the Bible, it's all written in there that the flesh-blood man born after Adam begs mercy from the higher power to be healed of blindness, to be healed of their issue of blood, to have their child restored back to life, to go back down to have Lazarus resurrected. All these things that they begged mercy for. And yet at the whole time he laid on or was ridiculed, had Jaron come downstairs this evening and we watched this little video, and because of the graphic nature of it, I probably wouldn't want it showed here, but it is a religious video. Just depicts scenes from that movie, The Passion. But just because of the age bracket differences we have here, it probably wouldn't be fitting to show in an open setting. But that was a good movie, and some of the scenes from it. And he never, as Brother Fitzsimmons talked about, they mocked him, they beat him, they put a crown of thorns on his head. All these things they done, and we depict him in pictures and on crucifixes and different things as having a loincloth covering his nakedness up. But it wasn't the Roman nature to be kind. They had a purpose to kill him. That's what they intended to do, and they was going to make it as embarrassing, as humiliating as any way they could. And not one time through any of that did he ever say, "Hey, can't you guys just give me a break here?" He never one time stuck his hand up against them. Somebody pokes at me on the job a little too much, and I get on them. Of course, being the boss, you know, I guess I can always pull out that trump card. But since I only got one employee, I don't want to run them off. They're hard to replace. And we go through so many things in our life, and even blind Bartimaeus, whenever he was telling them Jesus was coming through town, and he looked down, or he couldn't see, he's blind. But he knew that I'm sure he could hear the chants of Jesus, and he could hear the crowd of people, and he heard the rumors, heard the, not murmuring, because that would make you think murmuring and complaining, but you would hear voices, not just the ones in your head, but you would hear people talking. You'd think, well, you try to discern what they're saying. And he started hollering out for him, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Now just close your eyes for a minute. Imagine a world where he is blind, can't see. It's so easy to take something for granted, isn't it? Something so, just being able to look into the eyes of your new wife. Can you imagine not being able to do that? Or him? Even though sometimes we may not want to look at each other, but we choose that. Can you imagine the torment that your mind would go through? They made a story about this, who was the blind piano player? Ray Charles. Ray Charles, and the guy who played him, I can't remember the actor's name right now, Jamie Foxx. I read an article, they put these patches over his eyes because they made him blind for the movie, and I think he wore these for I want to say it was 90 days. And it was so many hours that they had, because they had to make it look real. You know, they can't just put something big over his eyes because then it would not look real. So they wanted it to look as real as it could be. And so he volunteered himself to become blind. I believe it was for 3 months. I may be wrong on the date for the length of time, but I know it was well over a month. You can Google that and fact check me, factcheck.com. But I read the article after the movie was made, and he talked about how that he started hearing things, how sensory deprivation was affecting him, how he went through deep depression, all these different things that was affecting him because he had lost his eyesight. And here's a man born from his eye, was born that way that we know of, blind his whole life. Can you imagine what he felt when his eyes got opened? And yet we take all that so even though I wear glasses, I still take them for granted. I was doing some cutting today at the welding torch, and Brother Oates said, "Hey, you want a shield so you don't get blinded?" "No, not at all, man. My eyes are good." You know, sometimes we don't protect those parts of ourselves that are so overused and yet so underappreciated so many times. We have to protect those things, our eyes and other parts of ourselves. I don't want to get off into the functions of a human body. But he just kept, they told him, they said, don't holler. He just cried out loud, he didn't. Jesus, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. That woman that pressed through that crowd, don't you know what she just knew? If I can just get through this crowd. What was it she wanted? She wanted a healing, but at the finite root of it was mercy for her condition. And we as humans, we always ask for mercy. And yet as he hung on that cross, he looked down and beheld his mother. And I've heard this said one time, that the last job he did on this earth was he looked at his mama, and he looked at one of the disciples, and he said, "Mother, woman," the only thing he called her mother, isn't anything right? "Woman, behold thy son. And then behold thy mother." Making sure that the other person was covered. Making sure that the other person was... He knew he was done. His purpose. It wasn't just a dream, was it? It wasn't just a task, was it? But it was a purpose that he was born to do. He was brought here to do, and he was going to do it. I smashed my finger, and it's like, oh my goodness. Yet the Bible says he opened not his mouth. He never brought out any rail. Jude says it a different way. Even when he was not being physically tormented, punished, if you will, or whatever. But when he was content, in Jude, when it says that he was contending with Moses over, with contending with the devil over the body of Moses, he dares not brought out a railing accusation. Even though they were dead wrong and he was arguing the point with them, he wasn't really putting them down. I thought maybe you found a scripture that... Did you? Oh, let's have it. Psalm 69:13. I appreciate that. Let's back up just a little bit if we can. Verse 7 says, "Because for thy sake I have borne reproach, shame hath covered my face. I am become a stranger unto my brethren, and an alien unto my mother's children. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. I made sackcloth also my garment, and I became a proverb to them. They that sit in the gate speak against me, and I was the song of the drunkards. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me. In the truth of thy salvation, deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me not be delivered from them that hate me, and out of deep waters." Yet at the same time, he is crying for mercy. And that is a good scripture. I appreciate it. I apparently overlooked it. No, I don't believe there is. That's why I appreciate being where we're at. You can ask a question and get an honest answer. But even whenever he was asking God, his Father, to have mercy on him, at the same time, he wasn't asking, "God, have mercy on me and get me out of this." He's saying, "God, in thy salvation and in thy loving kindness, have mercy on me. But don't deliver me from what I'm fixing to go to, what I'm fixing to go through, what I'm fixing to endure. Don't deliver me from those that hate me or despise me." Am I reading that right? Verse 14. Oh, I did say that exactly backwards, didn't I? "Deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me, and out of deep waters." Man, I am really messed up tonight, ain't I? "Let not the water flood over me, neither let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut her mouth upon me." Well, here he is. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy mercies. And hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. I guess we could just keep reading the whole thing, because he does, don't he? And he does fill the prophecy, but even in asking that, and when he was in the garden, we'll go there, in the New Testament, even in the garden, he said, Lord, if thou will, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, thy will be done. In his task. I don't know that that mercy is really the mercy that I pray for. Is that a safe saying? Am I just different? I apologize. I didn't know the scripture well enough to tell you that he did, apparently. But as Brother Smith saved me from falling to my plunging to my death here, he didn't ask to. He asked for mercy that he wouldn't fail. How many times have I just asked God? God, don't. We sing those songs. Don't let me fail you. But yet at the first sign of rebuttal, the first sign of embarrassment, the first sign of trouble, it's so easy to just regress back into what I've always done. If God looked down on Jesus in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, and he said that he looked down and shall see the travail of his soul and rejoice in it, do you think that Jesus looks at you and I in our trial, and he sees the travail of our soul? Don't you know that he wants us to succeed in this? Don't you know that he see, just as his father looked upon him, and we went and visited a church the other night, and I've been saying something for many a year, but I'm going to put it out there, because I thought it was a good, this man gave me a good saying, that Jesus bore the reproach of the whole world, didn't he? Let's go to Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. Now I'm just going to read it. And I promise I'll be hastily in doing so. Isaiah 53 says, Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. That is Jesus growing up in the face of God. In this old dry world, and even Jesus made that comment, and it was reiterated in Revelations about green grass and a dry place, and he was life, and he was green. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. That is quite a way of phrasing that, isn't it? The chastisement of our peace was upon him. In other words, we can't have peace whenever you've done something wrong. There's no peace between you and the authority without some form of chastisement. But once Roger Pryor was done correcting me, it was a done deal. When Jesus is done correcting me, it's done. There may be some aftermath of that, but that was brought on by me. But there's peace between us. And there was an enmity, a gulf set between us and God. And there needed to be some kind of peace brought in. And he bore all the chastisement of that. And that day as he hung on that cross, and he said, Eli, Eli, Shabbashatani, being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? For the first time in Jesus' existence, from heaven's throne, to the flesh blood man, to that man hanging on that cross at 33 and a half years old, he had always felt the presence of God on him, always upon him, always moving in his being, always moving. He always felt that life force. He was the Son of God. There was never no distance between him and God at any time. When he went out to be tempted of the devil, he didn't even come close. I heard one guy say one time, he come pretty close to failing. I don't think he even come close to failing. Because he had scripture. He had something to rebuttal the flesh with. He was planted on a firm foundation, if you will. How many times is it that the scripture helps save us from the very precipice that we're sitting there dangling our toes over? And the scripture comes to mind. The preacher gets up. Words fitly spoken are like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. I like to add, to a ready ear. When I come to church, I come with my ear ready. Ready to hear something. Because every day I stand in the balance. Every day my toes are just right there on the edge of this. Am I going to fall? The Bible says in Acts, the second chapter, last verse, and God added daily to the church such as should be saved. I like to know that he's going to keep adding me. And as he hung there on that cross, let me get back to my thought. As he hung there on that cross, he bore the whole weight of the sin of the world at that time. Every bit of the chastisement of every sin was upon him. And God the Father couldn't look at that any longer. And he turned his face away from his son. And he let his son expire. Let that sink in. If you've got a child, I'm sure you're letting it sink in. Oh my God. It brings me to tears. His whole life was given to give to other people. Everything he'd done was with extended mercy to everybody. And yet we worship a great God. He's a spirit God now, isn't he? And he resides in us, and yet he still shows us mercy in our time of need. Ain't that what Paul said whenever he said, let us come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may find mercy in our time of need? And the church itself is in a time of need. And us as individuals at this time are in times of need. And yet he still extended mercy to us. Still extended mercy. James, the second chapter, I believe it is, tells us that he will have no mercy who hath shown no mercy. Sometimes whenever I'm in a trial, and I've always been a merciful man, I've always looked at other people's circumstances and tried to realize what put that person in that predicament in their life. What did they suffer? What abuses have they suffered? At the hand of their parent? At the hand of life? The hand of a husband or a wife? Children? What has God dealt them? Or no, I'm sorry, what, sir? What has the world dealt them? Instead of trying to cast a judgment on that person, I try to extend mercy and put myself there. Now, I can't always put myself. There's some places I can't put myself because I don't even think like that. But I always try, Lord, what? Because people come to different conclusions of life. You ought to raise your hand and thank God that you sit here today with peace. It may not be perfect peace, and your home life may not be perfect, and your job may not be perfect. There ain't no perfect job anyway. Job is work. If it wasn't working, you know, work was fun, it wouldn't be a job, would it? I always like those people say, I love my job. It ain't even work. No, trust me, it's work. 105 in the shade, and I'm sweating. It's work. I'm working. Let me go to James right fast. Because many times, I'm just trying to draw a parallel, and I'm probably doing I hope I'm doing a decent enough job that you can tie onto it and maybe get something out of it. And James is a very good book. I feel like Brother Leniger, I think God gave him the truth on the book of James, to be honest with you. I think there's been some some changes here and there along the way, but I really feel like God gave him the true backbone of that whole book. It's definitely came to me in a time in my life that I was really struggling with several things, and this is a great book. It's actually one of my go-to books, believe it or not, especially being in the ministry. What this book's dealing with is people like me. But here in the second chapter, 13th verse, he says, "For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath shown no mercy." But then he saves us with this one. "And mercy rejoiceth against judgment." Mercy rejoiceth against judgment. You know, I try to stack up a lot of mercy for people. Because I know one of these days, I'm not going to do something right one of these days. Don't happen that often, but one of these days, I'm not going to do something right. Someone's going to catch me doing something wrong. They're going to turn me over to the authority. They're going to turn me over to the officer. And before you know it, I'm going to get slapped in jail, so to speak. And I cry out, "Oh God, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me, dear God." I find it ironic that the most times I'm praying for mercy is whenever my paychecks aren't coming in. Ain't that funny? God, have mercy on me. Maybe just the way I think. "And mercy rejoiceth against judgment." And then he asks here, "What does it profit you if you say you got faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother be naked or destitute of any food, daily food, and one of you say unto him, depart in peace, but be you warm filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, well, what did it profit him? What did you do? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." And so I think that we have to put some hustle behind our muscle. I've always tried, like I said, I've always tried to be merciful. I worked in a hospital and I've seen those poor people. My first episode of learning mercy was with a drunk man. I've gave this testimony before, but I just share it with you one quick time again. And being the way I was raised wasn't really conducive to accepting people with those type problems. So I went in there, and this man's drunk, and he's cussing me, and I got to give him a shot, and I grabbed the biggest needle I could get. And I went in there, and I bent him over the bed, and I rubbed his hip, four fingers down, rubbed it. Clean with a little alcohol pad, and wham, I mean, there was no warning, no nothing, here it goes. And he jumped and it pulled out, and I just slid it back in. And I went out to my thing, to my little nurse's station. Now, I've only been a nurse a short time, but even I know better than this. I'm sitting here filling it out, and all of a sudden, God, who's had mercy on me, reminds me. Do you see what you just done to that man? Did you see what you did with willful intent? And I'm sitting there with my little door pulled over here, because you open up the little door and it's right there, and I've got my head in here and I got tears in my eyes trying to fill out what I done. I gave this man, I'm not saying the way I done, I'm just saying I gave him an IM shot of so-and-so. And from that day on, I was never mean to another man, or woman, either one for that matter, or kid, or anybody else in the hospital, even when they was faking. You imagine that people fake things? You know people fake injuries? I worked with a woman one time, we call her Nurse Peck, okay? And she's about 6'6 and 266. I mean, this woman was big. She's an old farm girl, and big old meaty hands. Boy, I mean, she's rough as a cob. I mean, she chewed tobacco and spit and smoked. I mean, she was something now. I've seen her come up there cleaning cow manure off her nursing shoes, go to work. I mean, she's a cornbread woman, corn-fed woman. Anyway, we got this little petite girl in here, and her mom is just making over. This girl's having seizures. First time I'd really been around anybody that's having seizures. And her name was Gwen Peck, and Gwen said, "Jeff, can I see you outside in the hall?" "Sure." And I walked out there, and I'm looking up. Yeah, what is it? She says, she's faking. I said, you think? I mean, this woman, I mean, she's thrashing, doing her thing, and, you know, and her mom just throws this big fit and hits the button and screams panic, and, you know, we all run in there, and she said, yeah, oh, I know she is. Well, we all pulled back out of the room. We got the mom out of the room. The woman didn't have a seizure for a couple of hours, as long as the mom went in the room. Mom went in the room, started talking, you okay, baby? Are you all right? No, I have no problem. You calm? Everything okay? You know, we got to monitor. We're listening to this stuff. You okay, honey? Yeah, Mom, I'm okay. But I've got a headache, and I'm not feeling good, and I'm feeling weak, and I'm feeling this. And all of a sudden, it hits. You know, she goes, ooh, like that. And, boy, I mean, of course, we're standing right there. Here goes the button. Beep, beep, beep. And pager's going off, and we go hooking it in the room. And I wasn't expecting what Gwen Peck did. She grabbed that girl by the arm, and she raised her arm up. She stuck her arm, fingers right in her armpit, and she grabbed that little soft, meaty skin right there, and she just gave it a big old twist. And that girl woke up just like that. And she says, hey, what are you doing? That hurts. So she goes from a complete petty mal seizure to wanting to know why you peaching me on the arm. I never dreamed I'd ever use that in a church service. My life. You say, well, that wasn't very merciful. Oh, yeah, that was really merciful, trust me. Ain't no telling what that poor family was spending on this girl. And she's faking. Because what she's really trying to hide was she was going to have a baby. We found out the next day. But, quite an ordeal. You know that people will start to fake injuries? Wounded spirits? Having problems? So that people can coddle them? Sometimes I'm working around the house and I'll do something goofy, trip and fall, or hurt myself, and I'm walking around just acting like I'm about to absolutely die, so Jody will come over there. You okay, baby? You know? Of course, she's German. She's tough from boot leather. Shake it off. You're all right. We got duct tape. That's no jokes, the way she thinks. Sometimes whenever you're in church and something ain't quite the way you think it ought to be, you may be faking an injury. I need some attention. People will do bad things to get attention. Because when they do good things, they probably don't get enough attention. You know. But the funny thing is, when we do good things, we want attention, but we know it's wrong, so we really don't want you giving us attention. Because that builds up pride. And of course, you know this, so you don't give us any attention. And so then we feel neglected because we've done something good and we didn't get attention. Is that true? I'm going to wash your car for you and I'm going to fix that dent and paint. I don't know what happened to your car, but it's pretty well jacked up. We're going to fix it. But I don't want you to ever say anything good about it. We'll even tell you, now listen, it was nothing. Don't think none about it. But now if you don't ever get them to testify about how God blessed you through my hand to help you, I ain't ever helping you. I wouldn't pull you out of a ditch in a snowstorm. I guess I just got one of those minds. But I just kind of think that's the way people, myself, are. People like me are. Anyway, I want to pray for mercy like God prayed for mercy. Let me just get to the punchline here, okay? And I want him to have enough mercy on me to keep me in this. I want him to have enough mercy on me to raise my arm up sometime and pinch me underneath that little soft, meaty part there and get my attention so he can do something and get me fixed up. Yeah, it's going to hurt, and it's going to be embarrassing. I was a little bit embarrassed tonight, to be honest with you, but I just figured I'd talk my way out of it. I just stay up till I finally get make y'all forget, and then I'll remind you what I've done. See, so you'll laugh and have mercy on me. That's how that works. But he finished his task, didn't he? Did he not have mercy on all those that fixed a stone, that harlot? A harlot. Just think about what she is for a minute. That's a pretty base lifestyle, I would assume. And yet he had mercy on her. Man, I'm severely lacking in the mercy department. We say we want to be like Jesus. I better get on the program. So anyway, that was on my mind. Thank you, Brother Smith, for helping me with that scripture. I'll try to listen to different songs next time, okay? Maybe something a little more joyful. Maybe Christmas carols or something. Make us feel better about it all. I won't sing them. I'll just talk about them. The meaning they mean to me. Don't you love God? Aren't you glad? Let's say it. God, Jesus. Let's all say, Jesus, have mercy on me. How about saying it like we mean it? Jesus, have mercy on me. How about this? Jesus, thank you for having mercy on me. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for having mercy on me. And thank y'all for having mercy on me as well.
Lord, let me be merciful to others, just as you've been merciful to me. Hear me when I call, hold me lest I fall into the pit from which you set me free. Lord, I know that it was your great mercy that caused me salvation to see. Lord, help me be merciful to others, just as you've been merciful to me. Lord, help me be merciful to others, just as you've been merciful to me. Hear me when I call, hold me lest I fall into the pit from which you set me free. Lord, I know that it was your great mercy that caused me this salvation to see. Lord, help me be merciful to others, just as you've been merciful to me. Lord, help me be merciful to others, just as you've been merciful to me. Hear me when I call, hold me lest I fall into the pit from which you set me free. Lord, I know that it was your great mercy that caused me. Lord, help me be merciful to others, just as you've been merciful to me. Lord, help me be merciful to others, just as you've been merciful to me. Hear me when I call, hold me lest I fall from which you set me free. Lord, I know that it was your great mercy that caused me this salvation to see. Lord, help me be merciful to others, just as you've been merciful to me. Lord, help me be merciful to others.
me be merciful to others, just as you've been merciful to me. Oh, hear me when I call. Hold me lest I fall into the pit from which you set me free. Lord, I know that it was your great mercy that caused me this salvation to see. Lord, help me be merciful to others, just as you've been merciful to me.
Appreciated. That was a good lesson on mercy. Good. Beneficial. Enlightening. Good words. I know we need to pray here. We've got different needs that we are to pray before we go home. And so let's keep remembering Sister Elsie. You know, God could just arrest this cancer, and it could get her colon fixed, where she may live out of, outlive all of us. It's over with. Let's pray. Ask the Lord to help her. Appreciated your girl's testimony on the youth meeting. I'm thankful that we have youth meetings in the body of Christ for our young people. I enjoyed every one of their testimonies, and you know, sometimes it's hard to get up in front of a group of people sometimes when you're not used to it and testify. But the more you do it, you know, we'll just start getting y'all up every service. Y'all will finally get used to it. How would that be? Well, I wouldn't want that either. But the more you do it, the easier it gets. It's, you know, takes a little time and a little practice. And everybody's not a testifier by, probably not everyone's purpose or place, you know, but. But everybody does have one, like Brother Pryor said. You need to find it and get good at it. What's in your hand? What do you have that you could give God and develop and let the Lord use you? You'll probably find that that's the very thing that He called you to do. I always give that my testimony to younger preachers that when God, you know, always when God called me to preach, I couldn't figure out how to answer the call. Finally, one day, the Lord just told me, why don't you just live for me? Why don't you quit waiting on something to happen so you'll be a preacher? Why don't you just live for me? If you'll live for me, you'll find yourself doing what I want you to do. So I just started living for Him. And lo and behold, I found myself preaching the gospel. I didn't have to make a way or nothing. Just doors opened and I walked in them. And you still have to work at it to be good, be faithful, you know, and develop whatever gift God gives you. I'm still working on that. And every once in a while I ask my wife, I asked her one time, I said, am I a good preacher or not? You know, of course, she wasn't dumb enough to say no. You know, but she, I'll tell you this, she tells me when I don't do so good. She lets me know, you know, you need to, you know, one time she told me, she said, you sound like you're mad all the time. take me long to think about that. If my wife thinks I'm mad, what in the world are you poor people thinking? You know, it's been a while, Brother Tally, since she said that, but I'm sure I still need to work on it. Anyway, what else do we need to pray for here tonight? Sister Benfield did pass away, so let's remember that family. Yes, Brother Adams, keep him on your prayer list. I hadn't heard a report from about him since I think he is out of the hospital, but he does have a rare leukemia that he's going to need our prayers quite often if God doesn't heal him. Sister Bryant? All right, Brandon, let's remember him. I'll tell you, the toothaches are not anything fun to have to deal with. Sure good to see Brother Joe and I'm sure thankful the Wallace family's coming faithfully. Not only is Brother Fleming getting here every service, but the Wallaces are too. That's good. We need that. You know, I was thinking about things of not being faithful. You know, I thought, if we're not, you know, to be just, you got to be faithful. You're not just if you're not faithful. What, you know, I even thought about, you know, tithing. I thought, you know, if you don't tithe, you can't be just. If you're not giving God your first fruits, if you don't recognize God with the first fruits of the blessings he gives you, how could you be just? I'm not going to preach on tithing tonight, but I just, those kind of thoughts came through my mind. And I thought, I want to be faithful, Lord, because I want to be just. You know, you can come to church and think you're just, but you might not be just in everything. I want to be just. And I think that goes along with what Brother Pryor is saying. I want to finish this course, and I want enough of God's grace and his mercy to help me do it. Sister Lynette? All right, unspoken request.
Really good prayer time there in Wichita. There was a post from his mother this week on Facebook. The baby's passed, and he is in remission.
Praise God.
So
all right.
Wonderful.
What a wonderful testimony. He's in remission. That's great. I've been having trouble with my hip. And I think it's my sciatic nerve, but it don't matter what it is. I need the Lord to touch me. And we've got two puppies that are sick, that are sold. And they're really sick. I need your... You believe God heals puppies? I do. Anyway, my mother and my wife too. She's really failing here lately. Brother Stewart. All right, Brother Keith Dotson. Let's remember him. Sister Painter. Anything else? Am I missing Brother Crafton? Who? Your mother? All right. Yes, Brother Henry's going in the hospital early in the morning. We're going to do some tests think, to take a biopsy of him. So, Sister Wallace. All right. Let's remember Brother Wallace. And Christian. All right. All right. Ray and Susan Weaver. Remember them. Sister Donna. Does anybody know where Sister Donna is? She's home? and Dylan. Just remember them. She's always here. And when she's gone, I miss her. So let's remember them. All right, let's stand and ask God to help us. If the ushers will come, we'll receive your offerings tonight. Got our missionary needs have really been great lately. We've spent over $3,000 this month on missionary situations that are just needs that, you know, that just, the needs are always great, but this month they've been especially great. So let's ask God to help us with these needs. Oh God, precious Savior, we love you, Lord, oh God, for your goodness and grace, your great grace, your great mercy, Lord, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, meet these needs, Lord. We just lay them up before you and ask you to help us. Oh, precious Lord, precious Lord. Have your will in each one, Lord God. Hallelujah. Comfort the hearts of the Benfield family, oh God. And the Angelo family and the Joseph family, oh God. Help them and touch them. Thank you for your goodness to us, oh God. We know that if we trust in you, Lord, you're going to take care of your children. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God, thank you for your blessings, your spirit and covering. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Precious Lord, precious Lord. Praise God. All right, bless you as you bless. Lord, bless you as you give here tonight. Is this Bible, there's a Bible here for Christopher J. Payne. CJ, that's not your Bible, is it? Huh? All right, well, you missed out on a good chance of getting one. For a long time, I don't know how it got up here on the pulpit, but I guess it made its circle. Anyway, it was. Well, it's got a note in here for May 31st, 2009 on Brother Smith's Bible study on Sheol, hell. So, the guy's been here, that's been 4 years ago, hasn't it, or longer. So I don't know if he was here not long ago, he's been back. All right, God bless you tonight as you give. Thank you. visiting a church tonight. I've asked a few of the brethren and their wives to visit some other churches on Wednesday nights. Just don't want too many people gone too much, but or at the same time. But I'm putting out feelers for fellowship, see what we can find. I did a lot of that in the past and always found it to be somewhat profitable. So pray for these brethren that God would lead them, and if there's a door or we could build on, or there's some people out here that God would like for us to be in contact with, that we'd locate them. So anyway, right now I've got Brother and Sister Painter, and Brother and Sister Durham, Brother and Sister Pryor, and Brother and Sister Tally visiting other churches on different nights. So I may ask some of y'all to do it before it's over with. So but let's pray for them, that God would lead them, and that, you know, that they'd be fishers of men. We're not trying to get anybody else's saints. We're trying to get whole churches. We're looking for a door. You know, we can find a man that is a minister that would love to fellowship and work in the body of Christ. Well, he would have more influence over the people he has than we would. But if a door or a gate rejects, that's why the Bible said wisdom is justified of her children. Jesus said, John and I, we piped, but you didn't dance. And he said that wisdom is justified of her children. We tried to manifest this to you, men of God, that God chose and put in the priesthood, but you rejected it. But some of your people saw God in it. Some of the people, God touched them. And because you turned and rejected the move of God, God let the people go free. That's why Jesus said when he read the 61st Psalm of Isaiah that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He's anointed me to bring good tidings, to bind up the brokenhearted, and open doors to them that are in prison. He wasn't talking about natural prison, but he was talking about people that was in religious prison houses that were bound up in falsehood, but Jesus came to set them free. And of course he always reached out to, of course, seemed like they found him, the preachers found him, but they were jealous of him. You would have thought that they'd have said, man, here's a man that we need what he's got. Let's follow this man. Let's find what he's got. See if we can get help from God like he's getting help from God. But that spirit of Cain was there, wasn't it? I don't want to offer the sacrifice you're offering. I want my sacrifice to be blessed. If he could have just saw that Abel had the right sacrifice, and that if he could have just offered what Abel was offering up, God would have blessed him the same way. But he couldn't see that. He couldn't. His own ego and pride got in the way. Wisdom is justified of her children. God let me out of there. Hallelujah. I was out there. And the Lord touched me. And let me go. Set me free. Hallelujah. All right. Let's stand. Give God a praise before we go home. This has been a good night. It's been good things said here. Good songs sang. You ought to go home encouraged. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God, for your goodness. Hallelujah. Oh God, we love you tonight, Jesus. Thank you for your mercy. Oh God, your hand on our lives. Direct our steps. Guide us, oh God. Use us according to your purposes only you can do. Amen, amen. All right, shake hands with one another and be friendly.